listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, good to be here again.
And tonight we're going to talk about some interesting topics as usual to give some information about this program. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have nine principles of belief which are presented and discussed on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org, and I'd like to read our abbreviated version of these nine principles of belief, as is customary. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, if you'd like to read the full versions of these, please see metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now, of course, I didn't, because I got distracted, I didn't introduce that Michael Kelly, of course, is here with us producing the show and participating. Welcome, Michael.
He's there.
Yeah, he's here somewhere.
Oh, sorry. Good evening, everyone.
He was distracted. All right. Anyway, we'd like to welcome all those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you spending your time. Appreciate those in the chat room as well. And for those who are joining us live, if you have any topics that you would like to see discussed on tonight's program, please just put them in the chat room and we'll address those. There's a couple of things I want to start off with tonight. Recently, we've had several students, as they go through their courses, especially in the beginning program at IMHS, which is the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. I got to get these acronyms straight. You'd think I would, you know, I created them. But at our flagship school, IMHS, metaphysicsinstitute.org, the beginning courses, which are in our bachelor's program, really help students to, not only does it give an introduction of metaphysics, but also helps them to really get to know themselves and to improve that spirituality, that healthiness, that the healthy behaviors, communication skills, critical thinking skills, and whatnot. A number, many, many things that they go through. And they're life-changing, these courses. They're literally life-changing. And we've discussed many, many times many of the, most if not all of the things that we talk about in those courses. But one of the things that I've seen recently on the part of several students is that they've mentioned the idea of being a people pleaser, and many people are people pleasers. In fact, to one extent or another, everybody is, or mostly everybody is. And so what's the cause? You know, why are people people pleasers, and why is that habit maybe a bit difficult to break? And the answer, in a word or two, is them esteem. And if you're not familiar with them, Esteem, let me just tell you what it is and where it came from. Basically, years ago, my wife Tracy and I were talking and really getting down, and a lot of the roots of where the degree program curriculum comes from is in my work with alcoholic relationships, writing the book, which I did on alcoholic relationships, and it's really from the non-alcoholic perspective and the dysfunction that goes into alcoholic relationships and why the non-alcoholic, the codependent, remains in such relationships. And so in exploring my own experiences with that, you know, we got down one afternoon, we were talking about it, and I said, you know, it just comes down to a lack of self-esteem. And I was saying, I can't understand that because I've always been confident. I've always been confident in my life. I've never had a problem with confidence, but yet my refusal to leave a sorely dysfunctional, toxic relationship for many years would argue otherwise. And so in our discussion, Tracy basically said, well, it's not self-esteem, it's them esteem. And she's the one who coined that term. And as we got discussing it more, it made a lot of sense. Confidence and self-esteem are not the same thing. They're different. They're just two different things. Self-esteem is basically internal expectations and validation. That means that you set your own expectations and you validate yourself. Low self-esteem, which we call them esteem, is external expectations and external validation. And it's easiest to understand this way. If I have them esteem, then I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what other people think I should be doing. Whether that's parents, bosses, religious people, whoever, your peers, doesn't matter. If you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what they think you should be doing, that's them esteem. And you're basically, you've lost your identity to them and you're walking their path, not your path. And so, you know, who was it? Shakespeare says, to thy own self be true. We have to be true to ourselves. We have to know who we are and why we are who we are. And that's what our degree program curriculum does. It helps students to learn who they are and why they are who they are. And it goes through reinvention and reinventing who you are and creating or recreating, readopting or adopting, whichever the case may be, your core values. Because a lot of us grew up with the core values we inherited. We didn't sit down and say, okay, what are my core values going to be? We just inherited them. And so when it comes to them esteem or being a people pleaser, we do it because we only feel good about ourselves when other people accept us, when they like us. And that's a process. To get past that is a process. And it involves building your self-esteem. And I'll pause, Dr. Hunter, if you'd like to comment.
No, I was just thinking that's pretty natural most of the time that people want to make others happy. We like to see happiness, and we don't like to see people unhappy. So we think we have that kind of almost power to make people. You know, I know some folks who really believe that love conquers all, and if you do nice things and you're always loving and it's just love, 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 it'll just make all the bad things go away. But it doesn't, because we're the ones who have to decide how love is going to act, you know. So love might be pure on a spiritual level, but we're human down here. So we all have to be kind of more responsible for our own actions and learn those lessons so you can't make people happy. You know, I always say if you're trying to take away people's pain, you have the ability to take away their joy too. So it's allowing that independence, that growth. We can help each other out, make each other happy for moments, but you know, you can't change folks, and love doesn't make it all the bad stuff just go away. It helps, yeah. But it doesn't. So
Good points. And before we continue on with this discussion, I should have mentioned at the outset that we're using a new to this program computer. It's different. So this is the first night we're using it, trying to improve things. And some are saying that the volume's a little bit low, and I know Michael's working on that. So just bear with us for a few minutes. We'll see if we can get the volume kicked up a little bit. Apparently they're saying it's still low. Anyway, so how do you deal with them esteem? How do you deal with being a people pleaser? How do you get past that? Well, part of it is to understand what I've already been saying, what Dr. Hunter said, but there's also another aspect to it that comes into play, and you may not have thought of this. The aspect is that, in a sense, when you feel that, you know, when you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what other people think you should do, or when you are accepted by other people, you're playing by their rules. But here's the thing. In essence, it's a type of emotional blackmail. It may be unintentional, and it many times is on the part of ourselves who are doing this. But we're basically allowing ourselves to shed our identity, and we're acquiescing to do things for the sole reason that will please people, that they will like us and accept us. And that's usually because we don't like or accept ourselves to the extent that we should. Now, you may think, well, gee, I do like myself and I do accept myself. But again, is it to the extent that you should? You may like yourself and accept yourself, but is it healthy? You know, you may like yourself and accept yourself to the point where you don't displease other people. That's not healthy. You need to be who you are. You need to be your own person. And you need to walk your own path. That's your right. And it's the right of those people out there too, the other people, the people that you're trying to please. They have a right to walk their own path. And many times they are, but they're forcing you to walk their path too, but it's not them that's forcing you to. It's you who's forcing you to because you think that. I don't know if I'm getting confusing here or not, but the deal is that you need to walk your own path. You need to be who you are. You can't be who they are. Nobody can be who someone else is. You need to be who you are. You need to be you, and you need to take pride in being you. And it just goes back to the life leadership paragon: self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three create self-completeness, meaning you stand on your own two feet. You know who you are. You know why you are who you are, because you figured it out. And this them esteem all and people-pleasing boils down to a lack of proper self-acceptance. So once you balance that out, once you learn and begin changing your behaviors and begin changing your self-belief, that part of the life leadership paragon becomes balanced and in order. You know, any adversity is simply a state of disorder, and being a people pleaser is a type of adversity. You know, students talk about how they'll burn themselves out. They get hurt from being people pleasers, and that's because the self-acceptance part of the life leadership paragon is not in balance. It needs to be balanced. That means you need to have a healthy self-concept. If other people accept you, super, great. But if you're living your life and walking your path and doing no harm and they don't accept you, that's their stuff, not your stuff. And if that means that the relationship dissolves, then that's what it means. It cannot be any other way, because if you continue in the way that you are, you're not going to be happy. And life is way too short and life is way too long to live it unhappy. You've got to be happy with you. And if you're happy with you, what happens next is your energy signature changes. The energy signature is simply the vibe. It's your healthy self-concept, or unhealthy for that matter. That's an energy signature can be healthy or unhealthy. So when your energy signature changes and improves, you attract other people with similar healthy energy signatures. Like attracts like. And so you're going to find as you grow that in, throughout your life that you're going to have some individuals who come and go. There are very few people who will remain in your life all of your life because it's just the way it is. You know, we grow and we change and we improve and we become healthy, well, then those unhealthy relationships are going to dissolve. They're just going to peter out. They're just going to go away. And that's just what it is. And so as we improve and become healthy, we're going to attract more healthy people as into our lives. Dr. Hunter, any comments?
Well, I mean, you know, we've said it many, many times. It's a process of learning. It's deprogramming yourself in a way and debriefing yourself. And comes down to a simple thing. If I am entitled to and have the rights and freedoms to make my own decisions, then so do other people. And then we can, from that position, we can get into better dialogue with one another and be individuals. It's very hard to know what that means, being an individual, free-thinking individual. But it does mean breaking down those old patterns of thinking, lots of them.
Yeah. So I hope that some of these comments have helped those who might have a challenge with being a people pleaser. You just can't please everybody. That's just the way it is, you know, and you can accept it now or you can suffer longer and accept it later. But either way, it's just the reality. You can't please everybody. You please one person, you displease another. So why not just please yourself and let the rest fall where it may? You know, do no harm. Don't hurt people. Don't be mean. All that stuff, that just goes without saying. But you got to please you. You got to take care of you first, because if you don't, then you won't be around to worry about people pleasing. All right, so another topic area that's come up is past life connections.
I love this topic. This is a great topic.
Several years ago, we did two or three programs on reincarnation. And so let me just state some points up front about reincarnation. ICMH Church neither believes nor disbelieves in reincarnation. Okay? We neither believe in it nor disbelieve in it. Everybody has their own belief in whether reincarnation is for them or true or not. Okay? I neither believe in it nor disbelieve in it. Now, there are certain things that, and I suspect that reincarnation in some fashion, in some way, is true. However, my objective mind tells me that it requires faith to really buy into. Now, I'll tell you why I suspect that there are these past life connections, but reincarnation is not the only explanation for feeling connected to certain people. We'll get into that in a minute. And I've talked about this experience several times in this program, but years ago when I first met Tracy, it was a church, and, you know, and I had actually met her officially at a time or two at the church, you know, before this happened to me, but One evening we were there and the service was concluding and, you know, everybody starts to stand up and visit for a little bit. Her and her family happened to be sitting up ahead of us. And when she stood up, all of a sudden it's like, what? I know her. I know her from somewhere. Where do I know her from? I know I've just met her, but I know her. I mean, and it was just, it was the strongest, weirdest thing I've ever experienced. I've never experienced it since. And I just couldn't. I was racking my brain. Where do I know her from? Could it be that she just reminds me of somebody that I once knew? And I went through all this process in my head, and I just couldn't finger. I just couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And so, you know, I made my way to her and, you know, how are you doing, that sort of thing. And I said, have we met before? And she said, no, we haven't, you know, aside from right in that same time frame, no, we hadn't met before, but I just couldn't shake it. And the other weird thing is her name Tracy, it didn't fit. It wasn't her name. And that's just in my mind. You're not Tracy. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your name is, but you're not Tracy. And so I'll tell you, it was so strong and so powerful, and I've never experienced like that, anything like that prior to or since then. And of course, since that time, we both feel that we spent, you know, that part of our lives just making our way back to each other. And I don't know if that has any concrete evidence or any support or anything. All I know is it was a very, very powerful feeling. That's why I suspect, and there are a couple of other things that make me suspect that we have some kind of pre-connections, you know, from the previous chapter of life or whatever it was. I don't know. Dr. Hunter?
Well, I think we've all met people we have a feeling of a connection with, but you know, I know we're going to talk about this pretty quick here, but there's many reasons for having that connection. Now, what you had with Tracy is you didn't just have that feeling, oh, I know you. You thought, well, I don't want to call her Tracy. I want to call her something else. You know, mm-hmm. So it's compelling in that feeling. Like it just wants it to keep going. And then likely you had a few of those, oh, I feel like we've done this before, or had this conversation before, or, you know, and that familiarity that you have. But there's, I guess that kind of a thing is not as common as we might think. I think what's more common to have is a feeling of familiarity, a feeling of comfort, a feeling of, wow, I feel like I know you. But that could be energy frequencies. Signature, and I know we'll, yeah, you know, we can talk about that in a minute. It can be any number of things where somebody reminds you of somebody else. You know, there are certain qualities of people that, you know, stick with us. And you meet somebody else and you don't know what it is because they don't even look like somebody you knew. But there's a feeling and, oh, I know it could be a little nuance of how somebody eats or how they speak or an accent or a gesture. And it's a familiarity. So there's many reasons for that familiarity that may not have anything to do with reincarnation. And, you know, it's really hard to put our finger on it, and the least of which is when you have other kinds of attractions, especially in couples when they meet. There's mental attractions, there's a chemical, physical attraction, emotional attraction, and you have those, and that can kind of overshadow and misinterpret it to think, oh, it's got to be a spiritual connection, you know. So we have to be very self-observing about these things before we start saying it's, you know, reincarnation. Now, I'm an advocate at some level of reincarnation. Quantum physics can give lots of other explanations too, but reincarnation is a very subjective thing. It's because it goes by feeling, and that can't be measured in science. You know, it's a feeling or a memory, so you have to really trust yourself. I believe I have lots of past life memory. Lots of it. And that's what it is to me, is at some level of consciousness, it is this part of the soul that comes back. You know, again, it's a long discussion, but it continues to come back for whatever reason. And there's always people that we meet that can be familiar from other lifetimes. But just because we met somebody in another life doesn't mean you meet somebody of the other gender and you're to have a relationship with them. So this, again, it's that self-observing, trying to see how things fit. So if somebody's looking for a soulmate, you know, and somebody they might have met in a past life, we can put a lot of stuff into things that just might not be true, you know. So I always say that maybe you knew them in a certain way in a past life, but that's not really who they've decided themselves to be in this lifetime. And you and Tracy were really lucky in that you both felt that familiarity. I know way too many cases where just one of the two feels familiar and the other one doesn't feel connected at all. So again, reincarnation, it's a very exciting topic, but you know, it can just go off in so many different tangents. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fascinating topic, you know, and since we talked about energy signatures, you know, like attracts like, and people with similar energy signatures, similar beliefs, you know, people are birds of a feather flock together type of thing. So that can explain a lot of it too, but it can't explain the feeling that I had when I basically first met Tracy. And it's funny because Errol in the chat says that's called love at first sight. And that's funny. And yet it wasn't. I didn't feel that at that moment. I just knew her. Of course, you know, I don't have any past life memories of any kind. I just don't. So maybe I'm just distanced from it. I don't know. But I didn't feel that at first. And it took a little while. And once I got to know her, and once we were both out of our previous marriages, then we were able to make a life together. But it's something that grew. And it continued to grow. And it was just inevitable. It didn't require work. A relationship we have does not require work. You know what I mean? We just flow. We mesh. It's just an odd thing. It's an unusual thing. But anyway, so those are some thoughts. If you'd like a card reading, inner oracle card reading, please put your name in the chat and we'll start listing those and we'll get to those in a moment.
There's a couple of comments and a question actually in the chat that I'd like to address. Okay. The first one being that someone has said that the husband and her have a connection, but she doesn't believe they're soulmates, that there was some other kind of karma involved from past lives. That happens a lot. You know, where you talk about earlier, people pleaser, you know, and then in this lifetime, if they're, again, we're assuming reincarnation is true, in this lifetime, there's a want to make up for, a want to compensate, a want to, or, you know, and then people work that out. And I'm not saying that that's what this marriage is in the chat room, but I'm just saying that sometimes the dynamic plays out in really odd ways. So there's another question, I'll say, in the chat about twin souls. And twin souls, in my experience and my work with people, is when two people are the equal and opposite of each other. Now, they don't have to be male, female. They could be male, male, female, female. Twin souls are like, it's like meeting the other half of yourself. And where two people just, it's an immediate comfort, but it's very sibling. So let me qualify this, that twin souls are, in my view, cosmic siblings. Now, when two people try to have, who are twin souls, who try to have an intimate relationship, it's usually disastrous. And I've not met a pair that it wasn't disastrous. And the reason being, together, alone, they're awesome. It's almost euphoric. They get along great. They complement each other. Everything just works really well when they're by themselves. When they try to entertain the rest of the world or dynamic in the world, their life skills suck. They start, it's like squabbling. They're all, and when I see a couple that are always fighting, always irritated with each other, but they're almost like addicted to each other because they're complementary, I say, whoa, I think this is a classic case of twin souls. Now, the thing is to then start to see each other a little bit differently. I know a few who have stayed married for a really long time, and you just have to chalk it up to that's the nature of their relationship, that there's a lot of tension there. But it's almost like they like that tension. So they've taken that cosmically incestuous, but they've taken this twin soul sibling experience into, you know, a relationship, marriage, family. And so it's the equal and opposite. So you get a very strong connection. The one thing to note about twin souls is that when they do manage to meet and they do share a space, a lot of psychic energy starts to develop. And that's another, boy, this must be my soulmate kind of seller on it. A lot of intuitive experiences, a lot of everything from telepathy to, you know, traveling. It's really fascinating because it ignites it. And one of the, it was actually a psychiatrist many years ago. He was a wonderful man. He was also a Buddhist. I honestly had to be about 30 years ago. He introduced that thought to me about twin souls, and we used to have some really interesting discussions about it. So it certainly is, you know, something to look into. I find it fascinating, you know, about not just the matter of soulmates and somebody you knew in a past life, but maybe it's kind of off the same, I don't know, cloud in the cosmic somehow, you know, or the same energy that split off. And a lot of theories, whether it's Lemurian, Atlantean, there's lots and lots of theories about it. So it's interesting to look up. So thought I'd share that with you.
Good points.
All right.
We have
some names in there. Who have you got first there, Michael, that you saw? Did you?
Well, first I have Fran.
Hi, Fran. Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and do this first one, Michael, or you want me to, or what do you feel?
Well,
it's an energy. You got to feel it. What do you think?
Well, actually, I think I can have a card right here.
Let's do it.
And hope it's applicable. It's number 17, Reinvention.
Good card.
Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
You know, that's so apropos because I was discussing reinvention earlier in this program about, and I thought of that, you know, about being a people pleaser and about them esteem and all that. We have to reinvent ourselves, our core values, and figure out who we want to be and then walk that path.
So who would be next in our list?
Tabitha.
Hi, Tabitha. Nice to see you here. I'll grab one here for you. Deliberate intent. That's a good one. Another good one. So if, however this resonates with you, Tabitha, the simple act of intention registers your wants and desires within the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires a little effort, though. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release and have some patience. Don't you just love that patience part? No. But that's it. Again, we're talking frequencies tonight. It's like letting out that frequency. So at some level, that, I mean, that's a good card for all of us again, but that's a little message for you, a little reinforcement there. Okay, who's next?
Dr. Angie, Michael.
All right, let's see. I did just shuffle this, I promise, but I did pull at number 18, Evolution.
Good one.
All right. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
So that kind of goes along with what we were saying, too. We need to evolve spiritually, behaviorally, energetically, so on.
Who is right. next? Is there anyone else in the chat room?
Yep, Dr. Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis. Good to see you here tonight. I have expediency for you. Well, that's interesting. So if there's something in your life that you could relate to in some way, expediency, which is number 43, this is interesting. I'm going to pay attention to this one myself. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and the wisdom to know when to slow down to access the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. Interesting. That one's for you, Phyllis. It's a good card. Who's next on the list? Do we have
Heather? Heather is next.
Welcome to the show, Heather. Nice to have you here. I have for you awareness. That's a nice one. Number 11. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. Yet this card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. It's kind of what we're talking about tonight, too, isn't it? You know, it's that continual know yourself better and just in a nutshell. So a little message there for you.
And that last card was know yourself. What was it?
Awareness.
Awareness.
Number 11.
Good one. All right.
How are we doing on our list? Anybody else in the chat?
I don't see anybody. If we've missed you, put your name in real fast. Otherwise, we're going to start.
I see Dr. Phyllis, you know, for her expediency card. She said she's trying to get her business up and running, but at a standstill now. So, you know when to just kick back and then know when to move forward. So that was a good one.
Yeah. Yep, it was. Awesome. All right, so we're going to start wrapping up the program for tonight. We talked about people-pleasing, them-esteem, past life connections, reinvention, deliberate intent, evolution, expediency and awareness, and a few other things in between. And so hopefully some of these different points will help those who hear them to be in whatever way they need. And that's the thing. It's like always, you take what you want, leave the rest, and we're these different things, we can hear them at different times, and they make sense at different times than they do other times. So use what you can. We appreciate that. If you are interested in extending your education and you're not a student already, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can learn a variety of different specializations, spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, stuff. So maybe if you want to just take a single course, then you can take those at our sister school, Thomas Francis University, tfuniversity.org. We appreciate everybody's time tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate Michael's help and Dr. Vicky's as well. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow. grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.